Truth News Network.
In the flea market of political discourse, you found the hidden Rembrandt. TNN,
the Truth News Network,
and Dan Newman.
You know, I'm not so sure about the Rembrandt reference there by Pete, but I am sure that we're going to talk about political discourse today. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Truth News Network. A different story today, a different title for you. Let me challenge you. I'm going to tell you what the title is in just a second. Well, you've already looked at the title at the top of the story. But I challenge you to try to figure out what it means before you read the story and listen to this podcast. If you read the story first, you're cheating. You don't count. Here's the title, Democrat Hatred for Trump 77. I'll repeat that, Democrat Hatred for Trump 77. Let's get started this way. Remember the infamous chants by Representative Maxine Waters in public meetings that started immediately after Donald Trump's inauguration? They started in something of a benign fashion, but took off from there, actually degenerated quickly from those first meetings. Now you'll see small rallies of her supporters screaming at the top of their lungs. And you've heard this again and again. Impeach 45. Impeach 45. Impeach 45. Obviously, Trump is the 45th president of the U.S. But Ms. Waters' chants, impeach 45, are not really what Democrats are angry about. Though you wouldn't know that just by watching her and her crowd. Certainly, they want him gone. But the impeach 45 chant had nothing to do with Donald Trump as president. It solely relates to the number 45, which that's the number of his presidency. But the real number they hate is the number 77. Now, what's the significance of the number 77? 77. In this case, we'll call it the perfect number. Before we define what the number 77 stands for in this place, let's eliminate what is not the number 77. 77 is not the number of people in the House of Representatives. That's 435. 77 is not the number of people in the U.S. Senate. That's 100. 77 is not the number of U.S. Supreme Court justices. Now stands at 9. 77 is not Donald Trump's age when he was elected. He was 70 then. That's pretty close. 77 is not the number of voters in the Electoral College. That number is 538. 77 is not the number of the U.S. Interstate Highway through Washington. That's I-95. Or the one through Manhattan. That's I-78. Now, that one's really close. Though it seems like it, 77 is not the number of Democrat Party 2020 presidential candidates. That's a couple of dozen or so. 77 is not the number of golf courses Donald Trump's company owns. That stands at 16. 77 is not the number of hotels Donald Trump's company owns. That number is 11. Now, we could go on and on with this, but we won't. There are many things that are not related to number 77 and Donald Trump. To our knowledge, there's only one number 77 that pertains to candidate Trump and now President Trump. What is it? 77 was the margin of victory in the Electoral College by which Donald J. Trump won the 2016 U.S. presidential election over Hillary Clinton, 304 to 227. A quick note, not all members of the Electoral College voted for either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. Three votes were cast for Colin Powell, one for Faith Spotted Owl. Don't ask me who that is or what that is. Three voted for Bernie Sanders. So where's the big deal about 77? The answer to that is quite simple. Though there are 45 previously elected presidents who won their elections by a large electoral college tally than did Donald Trump, there is no more historically surprising presidential election electoral college results than that of Mr. Trump. And it set the world on fire, at least those who voted the other way or wanted the other person to win. But it's the votes of those 77 that launched a hate demonstration that began immediately after the election and continues to this day, some 2.5 years later. Those 77 voters, in the minds of Democrats at least, attacked the very fiber of the nation by voting against Hillary Clinton. Not so much voting for Donald Trump, but against Hillary Clinton. If Mother Teresa ran against Hillary Clinton and Mother Teresa won, they'd probably be saying the same thing about her. Those 77 obviously did not understand the historical purpose of the 2016 election. What part of the nation's fabric was attacked by those 77? I can't give you the answer. In the minds of Democrats is the automatic right for Mrs. Clinton to carry on with the processes, some that were public, some that were secret, of President Barack Obama during his 8 years at the top of the U.S. government. Apparently, those 77 plus their counterparts who voted the same way felt differently than did Democrats. But isn't that what Democratic elections are supposed to be about? The angst of Democrats for the choice of those 77 should be levied against all 304 who voted against Hillary Clinton and for Bernie Sanders, Colin Powell, and Faith Spotted Owl, if you support that line of reasoning. But the will of the people has no necessarily direct relation to any political party, unless the majority of those people feel that party's specific way. And their preference constitutionally always carries the day. That is as it should be constitutionally. If we somehow change that process, so will the process put in place by our forefathers that they carefully and meticulously crafted to lash out against the exact same mob rule control held in Europe that today's Democrats support. They support the majority rules. To embrace that is to denigrate, dehumanize, and to deprive voters in the minority of even having any constitutional election rights. To embrace that negates the substance of our foundation pillar, that of a constitutional representative republic. This is not, nor has it ever been, a pure democracy. We have 535 people that are sent to Congress to represent us. That makes this a representative republic. Americans chose the latter, that republic, and overwhelmingly still do. I remember watching with my parents on a black and white television the results of the Nixon-JFK election. I remember that that election went the way my parents did not feel was the right way. But instead of adopting today's presidential candidates' followers' reactions, my parents, their friends that felt the same way, along with millions of other Americans, gave not a single thought. Or maybe they thought for a moment, but they soon let that thought go. And they did not lash out at the winner, the process of the election, the Constitution, or even the rule of law. All of that happens almost daily right now. More than the results of any presidential election, they were committed to our country, its laws, its political processes, its Congress, and its president, regardless of his or her party affiliation. My parents both wept as we together watched John Kennedy, you know, little John, standing stoically on the side of the road in a stiff salute to the flag-draped coffin holding his father as it rolled by on its way to Arlington Cemetery. That day, that year, that decade, the only thing that mattered about John F. Kennedy to Americans was that he was assassinated. That was wrong. Everyone, regardless of party, thought that assassination was wrong. Differ from his policies, and many did, but he was still our president. And to all those millions of American patriots who chose another candidate, that's all that mattered to them too. They were patriots. So what's happened? Compared to all the elements surrounding JFK's 1960 election victory over Republican Richard Nixon, today's elections and all the hoopla associated with them are equal to the bombing and aftermath of the atomic bombs on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. There's no civility. There's no reasoning. In debates, the overriding objective of each candidate is to destroy their opponents in front of cameras beaming into 200-plus million American homes. It's seldom about policy positions and applicable facts surrounding those positions. Personal attacks and even nonstop attempts to with political narrative that is seldom truthful but always demonstrative and loud denigrate each opponent in ways that scare to death half of all Americans looking in. Politicians have either lost their ability to make themselves look and sound a better choice for voters based on policies and instead just make sure every voter knows for certain their opponents are simply the scum of the earth. What did our founding fathers feel about that vitriolic demeanor they felt would sneak into the politics of America? That's something to think about. You know what? We can document the feelings of some of those gentlemen. And we're going to do that when we come back in just a moment at Truth News Network.
Real truth, real news. TNN, the Truth News Network.
Subway Restaurant's Storytime Theater proudly presents Jack and the Beanstalk.
Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell something delicious. Hey, little fella, what you got there?
Oh, this? It's the big hot pastrami sub from Subway Restaurants.
Mmm, that does look tasty.
It sure is. Climbing that beanstalk out there makes you hungry.
You mind if I have a bite?
Sure! I'll trade you for that goose over there with the golden eggs.
You got a deal!
Hungry for something big? Then pick up a big hot pastrami sub from Subway Restaurants. Layer upon layer of delicious hot pastrami stacked high and toasted to flavorful perfection on freshly baked bread. Topped with pickles, mustard, and melted Swiss cheese, it's the perfect way to satisfy any giant-sized appetite. Big Hot Pastrami available at participating restaurants for a limited time only. See restaurants for details. Subway, eat fresh.
The Truth and Dan Newman goes together like beans and rice, brats and kraut, you and the future. TNN,
the Truth News Network.
I was chastised for saying something negative several days ago about brats and kraut. You know what? I love hot dogs. And I love cabbage, but I'm just not able to handle the kraut. Anyway, back to our summary for today's story. We were talking about our founding fathers and how they certainly felt about the vitriolic demeanor of politics that they were certain would creep into politics in the United States at some future point. They really did. Thomas Jefferson said this, July 23rd, 1801, "If we do not learn to sacrifice small differences of opinion, we can never act together. Every man cannot have his way in everything. If his own opinion prevails at some times, he should acquiesce on seeing that of others preponderate at other times. Without this mutual disposition, we are disjointed individuals, but not a society." And George Washington had weighed in back in September of 1796. He said this, "The spirit of party opens the door to foreign influence and corruption, which finds a facilitated access to the government itself through the channels of party passions." Wow. And then Ben Franklin, who was famous for his little short quips that were very meaningful, though short. He said this, "We must indeed hang together, or most assuredly, we shall hang separately." Another, "Clean your finger before pointing it at others." And then there was this, "Love your enemies, for they tell you your fault." I know. I'm holding out hope for impossibilities in this regard. But what I am absolutely certain of is if Congress does not find ways to bridge differences and work together for the specific needs for all Americans, our nation is doomed to the eventual fate predicted by Thomas Jefferson. And that is that democracies typically fall apart after about 200 years. His was a prediction based on history. Based on that history, the U.S., right now today, is about 55 years into borrowed time. Could this be the beginning of the end? It could be, but it certainly does not have to be. If it is to be Armageddon for America, it will be because of the choice of the American majority to allow it. Some who are partners of Truth News Network will remember when I predicted, before Donald Trump formally declared his bid for president, that if he ran, he would win. Now, I didn't say that because I'm a partisan Republican hack, or that I despise Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton, or for that matter, anyone. First of all, I wasn't a Republican, and I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm a registered voter, not tied to either party. For those of you in Rush Limbaugh's fairy tale city of Rio Linda, California, that means I'm a registered independent. And I said that not to demean you, but many people here pass along podcasts and stories to friends of theirs who may be on the other side. They may not be quite as independent and conservative as you and me. My prediction wasn't politically based, nor was it politically motivated. I'm an entrepreneur, a longtime company owner of a company I founded way back in 1992. I'm an employer of many people, serving many clients, some large, some small. I have 27 years of working with people, fellow Americans, who come from every walk of life. I'm a lifelong Christian who believes in honesty, integrity, communicating peacefully and thoroughly whenever possible, and caring for the needs of others even when those needs do not align with my personal perspectives on life, and I may believe others' needs may be largely because of their own poor decisions. I honestly felt at the time when I made that prediction that Donald Trump was and is that kind of person. Well, maybe minus several of the above traits I wish that he had, and a few more that I wish he didn't have. But you know what? When I made that prediction, I didn't think that I needed, or even could, vote for Jesus Christ. After all, we were voting for president, not God. He was already God, and he wasn't on the ballot. Donald Trump was just the next best choice for me, because I felt and still feel that he puts the needs and welfare of his fellow Americans above the two most important things all American politicians need to copy: their personal selves and their personal political ideologies need to come after they consider the needs and the desires of fellow Americans. In living life every day, politics is really just a little bitty piece of the puzzle that those Americans, everyday Americans, have to align in their lives every day. And only politicians and political hacks have the luxury of being able to think politics is more than that. It isn't. It never has been, and hopefully it never will be. Just a quick note in closing. Tomorrow, Saturday, you will see our bullet points for this week. So those of you who are interested in the behind the scenes of the most important stories of the week that you may have missed, you can get them in short form. On Sunday, we'll be right back in the saddle with Ukraine Gate, Impeachment Gate, and Pelosi Schiff Gate. Don't you dare miss any of it. I'm going to be joining you from the left coast, just south of San Francisco. And we'll be back. Hopefully, we'll be able to hook up for studio time to do our podcast. If not, we'll have stories. We have several of them already started with some really amazing facts to present to you. So don't miss Truth News Network anytime over the next few days, especially over the next week. That's truthnewsnet.org. Until we get together again. So long, everybody.
Classical conservatism, contemporary style. TNN,
the Truth News Network.